All right, so this week we have a new sermon. I was thinking about this and processing, and one thing I was thinking about is this week we're talking about money. And I promise you that it was not directly influenced by our current situation at all. I planned this almost a year ago to do this sermon at this time. So it just happened. I'm like, well, let's just let God be God and know that He was planning all along. To talk about this money principle. Money is one of those subject matters that's hard for, it's one of those almost forbidden sermons for pastors to talk about. Don't berate us as a congregation about money. We know our responsibility. But I feel like it's God calling us all to be reminded of what it means to serve a church, to be a part of a church, but also give of our resources to the church to make sure the church flourishes. Because the reality is that this church is not banner, and it's not owned by the elders, it's not owned by the congregation, it's owned by God. And so when we give onto the church, then we give onto God. And I think that's the important reminder that we have, which is why the significant subject matter of money principle comes out. So again, I started with, you know, the idea of that this is one of those sermon topics that pastors shouldn't talk about. But we're going to talk about it. Because God is good in so many ways that we cannot understand. The way He blesses us, encourages us, the way He guides us, the way He directs us, the way He, well, gifts us in the idea of understanding that insurance is important, even though it costs a lot of money, that we are thankful to have an insurance company that is going to be able to cover majority of our costs. But we're also thankful for already the generous congregation members who stepped up and said, hey, I'll help cover whatever is outside of that. And that's the kind of congregation we have. That's kind of heart of God that we have in our congregation right now. And it's all because of you, the congregation. So let's get started on this reality of the sermon this week. Money principle with my intro. See, it's all about money, 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 right? That's how I'm going to start the sermon today. Money, money, money. And I'm going to say money, money, money a few times because those of you that grew up in the 80s or were in your teenagers as the 80s, you might know a song. But I'm not going to repeat it because it's not Christian. But you're thinking of it right now, right? Money, 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 right? Now, it's a different key than that, but you know what I'm talking about. The reality is it's all about money sometimes. And sometimes that's why it's so hard to talk about it, right? Sometimes that's hard why it's, well, pastor, not again. But the reality is, there's so many times in Scripture that God talks about money and it inspired people to discuss money to the church. In our Sunday school, high school group, we're talking through the book of Philippians, and in there, he's grateful to the Philippians the way they provide financially for him. Because God prompted his people to give to the church, right? What an amazing testimony that Paul shares in that and that the youth are now learning about in sharing resources. I think that's just a snippet of an idea of what it means for us as a church to share in his grateful way that he provides to his church and the way he provides to his community as he calls his people to rise up. He calls his people to be encouraged. He calls his people to provide. He calls us all in that way. Martin Luther said it like this. There are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. Now, just in starting this intro, the reality is these three subject matters are real. Now, sometimes we don't really want to acknowledge it, but when we come to Christ, our heart changes, right? You remember that moment of conversion where you gave your life over to the Lord? Your heart just felt different. And continues to feel different. You've been transformed into a new person. And your heart is affected by that. But then, over time, that second conversion happens of our mind. That our mindset changes. What we like to do, what we wanted to do, and what we have done in the past changes and transforms into what it means to be more like Christ day in and day out. See the transformation of the mind. And then it's that third transformation. The purse. Or for you men, that gigantuan wallet that sits on your hip And the reason why you have back problems, because you have too many receipts in there that you refuse to turn in. I'm not referencing Banner United whatsoever. But I am. So those ideas that the power of the purse is the thing, that third transformation, that is a reality that was said many moons ago. That we understand that the change of our purse, the idea that what it means to tithe, to give to your church, to give to charities, to give responsibly to what it means to honor God and bring glory to Him, is the power of the purse. To give financially, give of your own means. Because it's hard. Because you come from not believing and not understanding that your money is yours and you earned it and you deserved it and you went to work for it and you got it. So why would you give any of that away? Because I could get a new TV. Which I feel like I need all the time. Even though I have a TV in like every room. I always feel like I need a new one, a bigger one, right? Bigger, better, right? I was at Best Buy buying a new TV for the church and I'm thinking, that's only $200. That's bigger than one in my bedroom. I mean, I feel like I need one. If it was my money and only my money, then that's exactly what I would do, right? But I also have to think about what is God's money. Because really, He's the one that blessed me with being able to have the physical ability to be able to work. He's also the one that blessed me with a job. He's also the one that blessed me with my finances in order to be able to have this. He's also the one that guides and directs me in everything that I do because I had a change of heart, I had a change of mind, and now I continue to have a change of purse. So when I think about the idea of buying a new TV, although I want it, do I need it? Now, there's other subject matters that I just feel like I need it all the time, but I won't go into that. It has something to do with fast food, but you know. That's my own issue to deal with, and I'll work on that, and I'll leave it to God. But the reality is that power of the purse is the most hardest thing for us to transform in, the hardest thing for us to turn over. And today, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. I promise you that if you feel any conviction in this sermon, it has nothing to do with you. I have no clue what you give to the church. I don't ever want to have a clue. I have zero, zero interest because I never want it to affect my decision. Whether you are the biggest giver or the not so biggest giver, it doesn't change my opinion the way that I'm going to act godly unto our congregation. Because that is a responsibility that I bear. And we have good people that handle that part of it. You see, we look at this money principle as our first understanding. And we go to Matthew 6:19-21. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can go there. So the reality is the money principle. That's what this is. It's not a conviction. It's not a, come on, give more, pass the plates again, which maybe we should since we did not have offering last week. I don't know. But it's not a responsibility, right? We're not going to do a second passing. We're not going to, you know, wonder that. We're just going to ask you to give with a cheerful heart. We're also going to give you to give unto the Lord, right? So let's look at this money principle. And it really draws out from this Matthew 6:19-21. And if you are a Bible turner, if you look into our bulletin, you'll see the scripture written in order that I'm going to go into today. Because we have several scriptures we're going to. They're going to be written in order for us to go to the next one. But this first principle is where this principle comes from. Matthew 6:19-21, it says this: don't collect for yourselves treasure on earth, where the moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Collect for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But instead, collect for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. See that transformation of heart? We come back to that great phrase by Martin Luther King. Martin Luther, man. All that construction this week. My brain's foggy. Martin Luther. And the reality of what he does and said to us about that conversion of the heart, conversion of the mind, conversion of the purse. That our first transformation is the heart. But it really is the heart that drives us, right? It's our heart that drives us in our mind. And it's our heart and mind that drives us to our purse and the way that we handle things. So starting up on earth, I mean, we all want nice things. We all do have nice things. It's important for us. We enjoy those parts of life. to enjoy different things that are make us happy. So money is not the subject matter that says, hey, don't be happy, don't enjoy life, don't enjoy things, but rather, don't create them as treasures. Don't make those the only moments that you think about. Don't let those be the only things that you have control over. You see, money here on earth goes away. I promise you that there is no gravesite big enough to hold all your possessions. And zero possibility that there's any well-minded person that is going to bury you with all your treasures. They might tell you they will, but they're not going to. You can't take it with you. You can enjoy life here, but don't store those treasures up here in these moments, in these places. Bigger, better, more. But rather, store up those treasures in heaven by giving unto the Lord. Giving responsibly into and unto the Lord. Helping His people out. Benefiting His people. Benefiting His church. That is the responsibility of you. And what it means to store up treasures in heaven and not on earth. You see this phrase right here I wrote down for you guys. Is your relationship with money says something about your relationship with God. If money is king, if cash is king, which it is sometimes in moments, the reality is that we chase after more and more money. Everything we do, every job that we seek after next is our next big meal ticket, our next big moment, rather than saying, how would this affect my family? How will this affect my church? How will this affect my service? That you take the next job for the biggest paycheck and what you want without any thought about what how it affects your family or any other parts of your life. See, the reality is that money truly does say something about you and your relationship with God. What's important? How important is it? You hear me say this phrase a lot. You know, when you look at somebody's checkbook, it says what is important. Fast food might be important. All your subscriptions that you have to all your different TV channels have. And the way that you spend your money and use your money. All those responsibilities say something about you and your relationship with God. Because if we are with God, if we are of His people, then we have had a change of heart and we have had a change of mind. But if we don't let those transform us, then our purse continues to act as if we were never with Him. And that is the responsibility on us. To live as if He is more important than ourselves. And that is the action that we take and process. This next verse is Luke 16:13. Luke 16:13. When you look at this verse, it shares some wisdom with us about money. And it says this, no household slave can be the slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't be a slave. You can't be slaves to both God and money. See, that conversion of the heart, mind, purse transforms us. It really is. A reflection of our giving. Giving is an outward expression of an inward devotion. You know, think about the correlation in baptism here. When you do a baptismal service, it's something that changes you, right? No. It's your conversion. It's your acceptance of Jesus Christ. He transforms you. And the display of the baptism is an outward expression of your inward faith. See the correlation here? Money and giving and what we do as our responsibility is that outward expression of our inward devotion to who He is and what He's done for you and what He's given for you. And the responsibility that that means for us as a people to give responsibly and be outward about it. Now, I'm not saying stand up, look what I'm giving today, and throw it in the tithe. Like if you're playing euchre or something, you know, flip the cards down like Ted Sullivan does. We're not saying do that. I'm not saying stand up and like grab your tithe check and look at me and go, boom, euchre. Sorry, I digress. But the reality is that it's our responsibility, right? It's something we do. It is an outward expression to our inward devotion to who he is and what he's about and what he's given to you. What he's given in his life. He gave you birth. He gave you this life that you have before you. He gave you his son to die on the cross to forgive of your sins. So when he's asking you to give with a joyful heart, when he's saying don't store things up in heaven, when he's saying make it your devotion to serve me, that's exactly what he's saying. He's not just saying that with your heart. He's not just saying that with your mind. He's saying that with all that you are, with all three conversions, with your heart, mind, and purse. The reality is that he is good in so many ways. Now I want to go to my next, if you've already been a turn pager and you've already flipped over to Acts 5, you kind of know this story I'm going to share. But now don't misunderstand this, why I'm bringing this story in. Ananias and Sapphira is a story that perplexes us sometimes. And sometimes we get confused about why people talk about money in this situation. Well, that's not really what's going on here. But here's something to hang on to. In these verses, I'm going to read just a few of them. I'm not going to read the whole 10. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart with a lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds for the field? See, context here is important, right? So if I say, if you don't give enough in the offering, you will definitely perish. That's not what's being said here whatsoever. What's being said here is that Ananias promised all proceeds from that field will go to the church. He made a promise not only to the apostles, but to the Holy Spirit, to God himself. This is what I'm going to do with my land. And he publicly stood up and said, hey, this is what I'm doing, everybody. Remember that euchre analogy? He brought his check. He's like, bam, there it is. I'm giving everything. But was that the truth? No. See, his heart wasn't transformed. His mind wasn't transformed. He deceived himself. Then I better keep a portion of this back just in case this isn't real. Just in case this is all a facade. But the reality is that is what led to this whole story being coming to an end of their deaths. Had nothing to do with they didn't give enough. Had everything to do with they lied. Their responsibility is because they said, I'm going to give everything and I trust this. And they did not. You see where the money principle breaks down? When we say one thing to the Lord and we do another. Or we try to deceive him in what it means in our offering, in our giving. He's not deceivable. But sometimes we try to do that. This next point here is give generously. See, not just give. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira, like, they meant well in promising all of their land. But then humanly, they're like, oh, maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all. And for us as a people, give generously looks differently for all of us. All of us come from different economic backgrounds. Some of us grew up really, really poor. And some of us grew up very well off. That's the unique thing about our mix of congregation is that we are not just one type of background people. We are a diverse people. But what we do, and we're all called to the same calling, give generously. Look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4 says this. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God granted to the churches of Macedonia during a severe testing of affliction. Their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed into the wealth of their generosity.
I testify that on their own, according to their own ability and beyond their ability, they begged us insistently for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of the saints. Give generously. See, this provision that was being provided was something that was unique. They wanted to come alongside and serve and give unto the Lord. But not just give, you know, give just a few dollars to make it, you know, when the plate passes, you feel like, oh, I gave something and no one's really paying attention, so that's good. At least I gave something. See, that's something we do out of obligation, right? It's something we feel like the plate's passing. I don't want to feel awkward. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to put something in the plate. But rather, I think God would say, keep that. He would say, search your heart. Search your mind. Give generously. And that is it. That means different for all of us, right? We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different backgrounds right now in these moments and what it means for our financial state. Generously might mean $10 for one person. It might mean $1,000 for another. But it's talking about giving you and your heart and your mind and what it means to give generously upon that. When we look at this 2 Corinthians 8:1 through 4, it is a passage that brings out a couple good points for us. And the first one is going to be according to their ability. See, they weren't trying to keep up with the Joneses. They weren't trying to keep up with somebody else that had more. They were trying to do what was best for them because they had it to give. Now, as you can see in Paul's words, it's they gave sacrificially. They gave beyond their means, but according to their ability, what they had. They gave according to their ability, and they went beyond their ability as well. See, that's where it leans into that sacrificial moment. That moment beyond just giving and trying to, you know, be a good steward of, you know, mostly. You know, I'm going to give church some, a little bit here, a little bit there. Do my best. But the reality is that they went beyond their ability. And that's what God's calling us to. To give generously, according to your ability, and even beyond your ability at times when God calls you to do so. See, this third point in this little piece of scripture that it draws out is the Christian tendency. Now, here's our Form 101. This is a really good lesson for us to learn and be reminded of, that we have a Christian tendency. Now, see, I'm a math guy. You know, my first degree was in mathematics, and I kind of like punching numbers. If you're in our elder meeting sometimes, me and one of our elders will be talking, and everybody else's eyes glass over because we're talking about numbers that, what? And they glass over, but like we're kind of geeked about it because we're like, talking about numbers. This is awesome. And other people are like, just tell me the bottom line. I digress. But the reality is in Christian tendency, we do that. We say it's simpler for me just to say just a portion and this portion only. Now, for most of us, because we read the Old Testament or we follow or we hear other Christians, we kind of come up with that number of 10%, right? We take 10% and we think, okay, I'm doing my duty. And you're right. You're doing your duty. Now, God doesn't call us to 10% in the New Testament. He calls us to give generously. 10% is a good place to start, right? Our responsibility to the church is a good place to start. But God in the New Testament, he says, I fulfilled the Old Testament. So our responsibility in the New Testament, in our money principle of the New Testament, is truly to give generously. Give within our ability, and at times give beyond our ability. See, that Christian tendency of just to boil down to numbers and facts, we get lost in it. Because I think, you know, well, I wrote a check this week, so I'm good. I'm covered for a whole week. But what happens when someone from our church is in need? What happens when someone from outside of our church is in need? Well, I already gave my 10% this week, so it'll have to wait till next week. And then what I'll do is I'll take some out of the church to make sure I can give to this person. You see, is that giving generously? Is that giving, you know, with your ability or even beyond your ability? No. It's boiling it down to numbers and say, well, I can only give so much to the church this week because I gave this much to this person this week to help them out. See, it's our Christian tendency. Take from one pot to give to another. But the reality is when he's calling you, he's put it on your heart to give to somebody else because they're in need. He's calling you to do that. And what does that sacrifice look like to you and in your responsibility to give? And give not only within your ability, but even beyond. That Christian tendency is far more than just that. So when you look at these two questions, you look at this. How often have we prayed about the amount we should give? I mean, Sarah and I talk about it. We think about it. She gets all stressed out when I say, hey, we got to have this conversation because we're going to increase our tithe. Because she's a numbers person sometimes too, right? Things can look at the budget and think it doesn't make sense. But God calls us to give. What about praying about it first? Not just have a conversation, but not just sitting there and be like, hey, I done the math. 10% is good. We're safe. But actually sitting down and praying about it. What it means to give and give unto the Lord. How often do we examine our hearts and seek the guidance of the Lord when it comes to giving? Again, we're believers and we sometimes like to be simple about it. And we boil it down to that numbers thing. But how about seeking the Lord and what it means to truly be a giver and give unto the Lord? The reality is, giving sacrificially is what he's called to us. Give generously. Give sacrificially. See, the money principle is getting boiled down now, isn't it? So is it making more sense? And it's not just about money, money, money. See, there's that song again, isn't it? Right in your head. Money, 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 right? It's more than that. We're boiling it down to now what it means to give generously. What it gives within, what it means to give within our ability, what it means to go beyond our ability at times, and this is what it looks like. Give sacrificially. Because the Lord will call you to it one way or another, right? He's going to call you to a sacrificial giving at times. There are times you're going to say, thank you for your offering. And there's going to be times where he says, give sacrificially today, in this moment, and here's what it is. And so I brought the story of David in the field, and it's 2 Samuel 24, 18 through 25. And I'm gonna read a good portion of that. Gad came down to David that day and said to him, go up and set up an altar to the Lord on the threshold floor of Arua, the Jebusite. David went up to the obedience of God's command, just as the Lord had commanded. Arua looked down and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So he went out and bowed to the king. And on his face on the ground, Arunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David replied, to buy the threshold floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, so the plague on the people may be halted. Arunah said to David, my lord, the king may have what he wants and offer it. Here are the oxen for a burnt offering and the threshing with sledges and ox yokes for the wood. My king, may the Lord your God accept you. So what did this person do? It's his land. It's his property. This is the way he made a living. You hear the part where he said, here is the yokes of my oxen, which is the wood that went around their necks so they could pull the millstones. Take these and burn them. I give you everything. See, at times, God calls us to be sacrificial. God calls us beyond our ability and to give sacrificially. And this story just illustrates that. That God will call us all at times to give in this way. Now, it is hard to give sacrificially. It's hard because it takes faith. Now, all of us as believers, and we have faith, right? We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he's going to provide for us. But what happens when we lose a job? At times when we lose a job, we think, how am I going to pay the bills next week? Instead of our first thing out of our mouth, the reality of that we trust in the Lord and we have faith in Him. Because He is faithful and a servant to us. He loves us so much that He will provide for us, care for us, take care of us. In those moments that we cannot. Because the reality is it means putting our full trust in God. More than just our salvation and eternity. Because we want that, right? We want to come in. We want to get our stamp of approval. I believe in Jesus. I've been baptized. I got my fire insurance. I'm all good. So that way eternity is all wrapped up. That way I can go back to living my life and enjoy my life here on earth. But what we miss is that real, real opportunity to really give the Lord what's His. So instead of being so stressed out about whether He will provide, let us look at this. Lord, increase my faith. That should be the first thing out of our mouth. When we start thinking about the check that we give over to tithe or to the homeless shelter, to whatever need is necessary that God has called us to give, God, increase my faith. As I do this, I do it unto You. That does not mean that because you give sacrificially that magically more money is going to come in, but it could. You just never know. God is such a wonderful God in the way He does. Because I definitely am not preaching the prosperity gospel here. I'm not saying that the more you give, the more you'll get. I'm saying God has given you something and He's blessed you. Give generously. And at times, give sacrificially. Because a lot of times what happens is we get on our knees and we pray the prayer, Lord, increase my pocketbook. And then when you do that, I will surely give more. See where the disconnect is with that heart, that mind in our pocketbook? There's disconnect there. That our prayer is more about God, increase my pocketbook rather than increase my faith and what it means to give in this way. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich for your sake, He became poor, so that by His poverty you might become rich. When we look at this idea of what Christ has given to us and what God sacrificed for us, when it comes to money, it's such a small subject matter in the grand scheme of things, even though it affects us sometimes drastically, right? The reality is that He is a good God and He's faithful. He is the one who will provide for you. He is the one who will take care of you. He is the one that can increase your faith. You know, sometimes it means just giving sacrificially, making decisions, and sitting back and watching the way God will use that sacrifice to bless His kingdom. Sometimes that's how simple it is. But it really is hard to give sacrificially. It really is hard to make that effort, that moment. But I tell you, you know, giving sacrificially looks different for each person. It's according to your ability, right? You know, we hear phrases on the radio all the time, the people asking for help out, especially like our radio station. They're completely funded by the people that listen to the radio station, right? And so they have telethons every once in a while to help us give generously, right? And a lot of times, I think about listening to that radio station, I think, yeah, surely there's other people going to give, you know. I'm good, but I appreciate the radio station. See the change there? I'm enjoying the benefits of this Christian radio station, but I'm not putting the skin in the game. I'm not putting my sacrificial giving in there because surely someone else will step up. Well, I think that sometimes we fall into that Christian tendency in our church as well. That sometimes we think, wow, that is a lot of work to be done at the church. Someone else will do it though. What a good Christian church we have. Have that heart and that mind transformation and have it transform your purse. Have it transform all that you are. And I tell you, when you have that three-part conversion that is fully given unto the Lord, that is when the moment that you transform into the believer that God has made you to be. And again, I'm not sitting here saying, give more. Go to the Lord in prayer. Seek His advice. I just ask you to do what He says. Not me. Not your elders. Not your friend beside you saying, you should give more. I've seen that check. But ask the Lord. Seek Him. And if He calls you to it, probably should do it. I go into the wrap up of this. Just have a couple key phrases for you. I put them in the bulletin for you just to kind of help you be reminded. Maybe this week as we look at bulletin. I don't always do it and fill in the blank. But sometimes when you talk about important subject matters like this, I think it's important to fill in the blanks to remind you what the message is about. But the message was not Pastor Teddy saying, we need to give more. It really wasn't about money, 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 even though I mentioned it many times. So we're going to get to the point, the real point of the sermon. What does your checkbook say about you and your relationship with Christ? I think that's a question that only you can evaluate. Again, I don't know. And our tithe recorder is not going to ever say, and our tithe recorder is never going to come to you and be like, hey, I know what you make. I think you should give a little more. No. We're going to trust the Lord in the way He provides. We're going to trust the Lord in what He has done already to us. And we're going to trust the Lord that He has called you in your heart, called you in your heart and your mind, and has transformed you in your purse. So when we look at our tithe recording for the year, and we look at how much it, you know, what we're going to take to run the church, we just put our trust in Him. That what He's done last year, He's going to exceed this year. And we just trust that when we set a budget. You trust that He's going to call His people to do this. What does it say about you in your relationship with Christ? The second fill in the blank here is when we give out of duty, it robs us of the reward of joy. Let us learn to give out of gratitude, following the example of Christ as set of generosity. See, that duty is that what I was talking about earlier, with the idea of, like, you know, we mathematically figure out what I feel like I can safely give and still be able to enjoy my life. That mathematical moment, that Christian tendency. See, that when we give out of duty, we're like, you know, I feel like I should give this today because... See, that's when we get robbed of the joy. Because I'm telling you, those moments that you give sacrificially, that moments that you give money out of your pocket, like, it almost hurts. If you've ever done that, you know one of the greatest Christian joys of giving. Because that person, whoever it was, now has what they need. Now you may be on the other side going, okay, that was a big sacrifice, but God is good. The joy that comes from that is overwhelming. So if you know that joy, you know what it means to let Christ set the example for your generosity. And last but not least, it all boils down. It's not so much about money, money, money that you spend, but the message that it sends. It really does boil down to that. Again, we're not going to sit down and die with your checkbook. There's no need to do that. The Holy Spirit will do it for us. And the Holy Spirit will do it with us. The message that we send out, by the way, we have that third transformation of the purse, says a lot about who we are. And it says a lot about who we truly give our faith and belief into. I, for one, stand before you today on this stage as your pastor and say, I trust Him more. I trust Him more. I trust Him more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and close out this service. Father, I'm so grateful for the way You encourage us, guide us, and direct us. Father, I just cannot thank You enough for Your message that is that You put on my heart. Father, I'm just thankful for the way that a year ago when I was praying about today and what it looked like to deliver a sermon, that you put this on my heart. At the time, Father, I had no clue about what would happen to our church and what the construction would need it, and even the financial need that we'll have as a congregation. But a few weeks ago, well, last week after the destruction, I prayed about this message and whether it'd be even appropriate. And Father, I'm glad that you encouraged my heart, encouraged my mind to push forward. Because you are worthy of our praise, Father. We welcome the transformation of these three elements of the heart, the mind, and the purse. Father, it's all yours because it comes from you, and we trust you with everything in our life. And Father, your people are grateful to praise you, praise you, praise you. And Father, may our hearts and our minds always sing to you. We say this in Jesus' name, and all your people said, amen.